So it's red lights behind you, red lights behind you. It's an officer. It's a police car. You've been going too fast. And listen, those lights and that siren tell you something. Somebody with authority has a right to pull you over. They've got authority. Now, you could be driving up through a construction area and an officer step out and point at you and put his hand up for you to stop or motion for you to go to the left. Once again, because he has authority, he's able to stand there and you must comply. You're supposed to comply because he has authority. He has a right. It's been given to him to exercise that kind of authority. So you've got to respond. Exousia is the word today. Exousia or exousia is the word today that identifies particular demonic presence, authorities. They have authority. They have been given a right. They have taken rights. They exercise that, and they hold down stronghold in an area. We'll talk about all of it here in just a moment. Let me give you another example. I'm in my home in an area of my house. I have a right to be here. I live here. I have a right to be in this house. Now, if I was to go to the next door neighbor's house and just simply open the door, go in, open the refrigerator, take out the ham and start eating, I'm very sure I'd probably have a shotgun at my head telling me, what in the world are you doing here? Why? Well, you have no right. You have no authority in that house. I don't have a right to go in there. But I have a right to be here. So we got to understand authority in the spiritual realm. It's vital that we do, and especially the authority of Christ and our personal spiritual authority we've been given. Hey, this is Shatter the Darkness live broadcast on a Tuesday night. It's April the 12th, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're glad to be with you. By the way, this is Russ Dizdar, for those who are new. Website, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. And, well, there's many things there for you to take a look at if you're interested on the web. Many different things that you can download. And people tell me it's a very busy site. It's and it is, because there's a lot of things there. So the best thing to do is, as you go, take your time. Go down the middle. And that's where the week of live radio broadcast, Monday through Friday, the theme for the week, species, non-human intelligences. I marked down here, they are real beings, different types of dark spirits, contacting, communicating, and influencing humankind on a massive scale. Now, that's part of what we're about, and part of really taking biblical prophetic literature, looking at the future, looking at the ramping up, looking at what has been told us would be occurring, and then looking around, obviously seeing it, engaging it, dealing with it. And it's off the scales. We can't even get to everybody that needs help. Nowadays, demonized. A dear man from Turkey contacts me through Facebook. Maybe Cliff's listening, I don't know, but we're just going to simply say that great prayer has gone up today for the situation of a friend that is written from the nation there, Turkey. Glad that you're listening, glad that you felt okay to email, and we're glad to email or write a note back to you and tell you that we're going to be praying about that situation, sending materials, course materials, things like that, so they could be helped out. Now, a lot of others will write and talk about spiritual issues in sons, daughters, family members, others, maybe even in an area. They might feel something that just doesn't go away. It seems as though it has a right to be there. It seems as though there's a stronghold of its presence. Exousia. Now, yesterday we dealt with arche. That is the kind of principalities over a nation, over a region, maybe even over a city, a large city. But underneath the arche, underneath the ruling principality, demonic principality, can be many different authorities, demonic authorities, the demons that are described as those that have well, and are exousia, authorities. Now, we'll give some more definition to that in a moment, some example of that in a few moments, and maybe you'll begin to understand what's going on in a family line, in the neighborhood you live in, the city you live in, where that dark presence seems to have been there a very long time and doesn't go away in its operating force. So let's talk about that as we jump in tonight. Species, non-human intelligences. Of course, we're dealing with the demonic realm. Jesus, in teaching disciples who back in Mark's Gospel chapter 9 could not cast out a demon, couldn't get rid of it. Jesus said, this kind comes out only by prayer. When he goes into the phrase, this kind, this type, or that little word is used in the idea of type or nature or species. Yes, it's all demonic. Yes, it's all of the same nature, same agenda that opposes God and seeks to unleash its reign, even on a very physical way. And as globalism comes, you can be sure that not only RK rulers will be, you know, above us, over the air, in the sky. Principalities like this, like the Prince of Persia, the ruling spirit in Daniel's day, the Prince of Greece. Now, these are powerful, massively powerful demonic entities that have rule over a nation, rule over a region, and rule maybe over cities. It exercised its rule in the city Daniel was. And you've got to understand something. It had real effect in the interaction as Daniel was praying to God and held up the answer to prayer, engaged angelic warfare. An angel of God comes the moment Daniel lifts up the prayer to bring the answer, and the answer is delayed. The Prince of Persia is blocking the angel of God, and there's a battle, and another angel of God's got to come and break through. You ever wonder why breakthrough's not occurring in your area, breakthrough not occurring in places? Well, RK, that is the ruling principality over a nation, over a region or city, is just absolutely operative in blocking. And they knew, I mean, that Prince of Persia knew where Daniel was, knew what Daniel was praying, and was targeting the answer that was coming along the way. You know, in that realm, they see it all. They see the answers coming. Maybe you and I sometimes don't see the answers coming. Answers are coming your way. You've been praying a long time, and you've been praying about, you know, specific things. Answers have been sent. If you haven't gotten it right away, it's very, very possible and very likely that RK and other demonic entities have brought a block to that manifestation of your prayer answer. And you've got to keep praying. That's what prayer is all about. Prayer is all about the answer. But it's all about us continuing to pray until we get that. Ask and keep on asking. That's how the Greek reads it. Ask and keep on asking, and you will receive. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking until the door is opened up. Now, that's what prayer is all about. You, when you go to the Lord, when you go in prayer, when you're interceding in prayer, listen, it's all about getting that answer. That's what it is. If the Spirit of God moves you in a different way, that's one thing. Or if you're told no, that's another thing. But literally, it's all about God's on your side, that answers come about. It glorifies God the Father when you get answers. It demonstrates you're an obedient disciple, obedient to the word of God in Christ. That's John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 7 and 8. So God is all about, that's what it's about. We're supposed to get answers. But don't give up in the midst of, demonic blocking of the answers and the warfare that goes on beyond us. And I said yesterday that angels have a lot to do with the interaction. Answers to prayer is when God is releasing them, like in the book of Acts, you'll see this. And then also the dark side's presence. And particularly in Daniel's case, the Arche, the prince of Persia. And, well, they're interactive. They're interactive. And no doubt they're there to keep the church as a whole suppressed. But then underneath them, in my view of this, is those who are demonic entities that have authority are called exousia. Now, this is very important to understand. Because it has everything to do with the fact that they've been given the right, or they have taken the right, and they're operative. And we're going to talk about some of the areas in which demonic presence listed as exousia authorities are literally holding a stronghold in a particular area, in your city, in your neighborhood, maybe even in your family line. We'll talk about that. Welcome to all listeners internet-wide, worldwide, and those by satellite. We want to say welcome directly to you. It's always great to hear from you, and I want to say welcome to all those who listen to the archives, and that's a lot of you, thousands and thousands of you. At least that's how many downloads are going, thousands and thousands daily around the world being downloaded. So we're glad for that, and we do pray. But I have no doubt that Archai and Exousia, these kinds of demonic entities, will do all they can to keep the message from getting out there. We pray that God stretch forth his hand as we read this in Acts 4. So in the midst of massive spiritual conflict, where there are counterfeits and masquerading entities and so forth and on, we need some definition. We need to understand what's really going on. And the believer that gets defeated or gets confused, or the church that seems utterly powerless, well, it has everything to do with this kind of direct spiritual warfare. The Spirit of God says in Ephesians chapter 6, your struggle, your battle is not against flesh and blood. It is against the powers, the spiritual powers, and the listing of four, well, types, species. You could even say rankings of them are listed there. Yesterday, we went over Archai. Tonight, Tuesday, we're going over Exousia. Exousia, those that operate with great authority, but in... they're identifiable, I think, and in specific ways. Let me say really quick here today that I appreciate the video sent. Tim out west sends me a video, and it is it's a YouTube video, and it deals with Nazi doctors and American eugenics and things like that. Now, listening again, just reminding me, years ago it was a Fort Bragg. A monarch, chosen one that handed me in a bookstore, went over there and got off the shelf, The Nazi Doctors by Lifton. In there, the description of the Nazi doctors doing doubling, the ability to double in their kind of personality, to do what they did in experimentation of human beings, the horrific, insidious evil, and then be able to go home, play with their kids, and live a different life. That all comes from that demonic revelation that brought about the ideology, but it brought about the science, and it brought about the psychiatry, or the supposition, to analyze what the psychiatry and what gave them the sense of freedom or right or authority to do what they did in human experimentation, to the point of splitting human soul and or personality, and creating, you know, subparts and personalities. And wow, listen now, 100 million chosen ones worldwide, four generations now, going all the way back to the Nazis, literally. And part of those doctors that were brought over were not just scientists that got involved at NASA and building A-bombs and things like that, but psychiatrists that do mind control. And I'm going to tell you right now, I think that exousia, these kinds of demonic entities, authority, this is where they would be. They would be exercising great authority in areas. They can do it in psychiatry. They can do it in science. They can do it in religion. They can do it in an area. And that's how we're going to define things here tonight as we look into it. So I appreciate Tim sending that video. Reminded me again, as the psychiatrist there in the video was exposing some of the evils and going over the Nazi, doctors, psychiatrists, and some of the things they believed. So you got to watch out what somebody's. That's why we need to analyze belief systems when it comes to psychology and psychiatry. And I know that there may be some that listen, and that's an issue. When anybody, counselor, anybody's going to counsel from what it is you believe, what it is your frame of reference, what is your base. So presuppositional analysis. Analyzing the supposition, the base of what somebody believes. That's going to tell you a lot, because belief systems, well, they can come from people and individuals. They can be, they can be a humanist and agnostic. They can be a nihilist. They can be an existentialist. All kinds of things people choose to be, get informed. They can be a hedonist. But they can also be someone that grabs a hold of what has been literally unveiled by the demonic realm. The Bible calls it didache of daemonoia. That is the teaching of the demons that had directly come into one individual's life who had been willing and grappled with. In Alice Bailey's case, it said that this entity literally was fusing with her to where it was like they became literally one as the dictation was given. Now, that doctrine of demon has inspired, hundreds of millions, and has leaked into political ideology and many other realms. We're going to talk about that when we deal with Cosmocrator on Wednesday night. Cosmocrator. Now, let me put out there again, why are we doing this in detail? Let me give you two quick answers. Number one, the Spirit of God laid it out in Ephesians 6. It's just simply the verse-by-verse teaching, the word-by-word revelation. The Spirit of God, you got to understand, we're talking about the Spirit of God. Omniscience, omnipresence. I mean, the Spirit of God knows in detail this whole array of the dark side. I sometimes call it a collective. As they operate, now, the prince of the power of the air up there above your head, in the air, do you remember I was reading Psalm 89 yesterday, and it says in verse 6, "For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings?" So that psalm points to, again, in the atmosphere above our heads, right up above us, in the spiritual realm, of course. And according to Ephesians 2, there is an archon referring to the fallen cherub, Satan himself. He is the ruler of the domain. That word, exousia, that place of authority. He has a worldwide reign of authority in the air, the eros, the immediate dense atmosphere above our heads. So that involves his place of rule, but where there may be hundreds of billions of demonic presence that are called by the Spirit of God, RK, or here, exousia, or tomorrow, Cosmocrator, Thursday, another one, Friday, another one. So we're going to give the terminology out, the definition out, and it is as though the Spirit of God is literally pointing his finger, saying, here's what you are, arche. Here's what you are, authorities, exousia. And here's what you are, Cosmocrotters, Great White Brotherhood, other stuff, Secret Chiefs. Now we're going to talk about that again tomorrow night. So one of the number one reasons we're bringing it out, and it is a kind of exposure, clearly, is because the Spirit of God does this. We're told in verse 10 to allow ourselves to be empowered with the mighty strength of God. And that involves this manifest power and presence and strength of God. How do you do that? Put on the full armor of God. See, it's in the passive there in verse 10. But by you putting on the full armor of God, leaving it on, that's in the imperative, commanded, you're told to do it. By putting on truth, righteousness, readiness, and so forth, the helmet of salvation, by putting this on, then that gives God the room or I don't want to say space, but then God is able to manifest in and through your life his mighty strength, power, this empowerment can come. And it's all about being able to stand. That context is all about warfare. Now, anybody who's a believer in Christ, we should be discipled with this in the first, 15 weeks of being a believer. We shouldn't, discipleship, I've got tons of discipleship books over the years, tons of materials that we've used and researched and looked at or whatever, and some of it is missing a lot of stuff. Sometimes if you just look at how to pray, how to worship, and how to read the Bible, okay, that's great. That's absolutely great, but not enough. That's not full discipleship. I mean, do you remember the disciples? Jesus says, I mean, they're having the Last Supper. They're fellowshipping together right there. And I mean, who's in the room? Emmanuel. Jesus Christ is in the room. And they're all eating. They don't even have a clue what's going on in the spiritual realm, what's going on right there in the room. Jesus does. Again, God in human flesh does. Nothing passes by him. There's no ability of a demon to sneak up on God and say, "Oh, you come up behind me." You got to understand God's infinite level of omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence. You got to understand how big, in comparison to anything, God is, and that's good, and that's why it's good to be on God's side by knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior, indwelt by him. Born of his Spirit, you are pledged by God's word to have protection, but given, guess what, authority. As a believer in Christ, you are given exousia. Now, I'm going to talk about that towards the very end and how to apply that. But today, we're taking what the Spirit of God gives in Ephesians 6 as the Spirit of God reveals to every believer, hey, if you're struggling in your spiritual, and things are occurring around you to come against your faith, well, your struggle is, your warfare is not against flesh and blood. He directly names the culprits. The Spirit of God points your attention to archai up above, exousia authorities that are operating in strongholds and areas, as we define that today, Cosmocrator, which we'll look at that tomorrow, and on and on. So if the Spirit of God is going to give the revelation and name these types of demonic presence, well, I think we should know this very well, especially in the end of the age, when the pinnacle of demonic presence entities, the most archai, the most exousia authorities, the most cosmic, the most being operative and on this side of the veil, we need to understand this well. Now, putting on the armor of God is to cover the basis of all of this, because in relationship to your personal faith in Christ, if you are a believer, then they know about you and they can bring effect, block prayers, do other things, and help stop you. Paul talks about this in the book of Thessalonians. He was intended to go in mission to one place. He simply says it this way, but Satan stopped us. He just applies that whatever it was, I mean, as far as demonic presence, maybe it was Satan directly, Satan stop them. So there's a warfare that goes on. There's been a warfare going on. We understand that. I think many of you listening to me know that we do. Some write to me and say, well, wow, you must be going through. Well, we all do. God wants us to recognize that, though. Somebody asked me the other day about discernment. And I looked at them and I said, as a believer in Christ, every believer should, well, not only has discernment, should exercise discernment. You've got God, the Holy Spirit, inside of you. So there is no one higher. You've got God, the Holy Spirit. You've got the Word of God. There's nothing higher. Living words, empowered. I mean, you've got words that are filled with life and power. And they're able, by constant use, to give you the ability to discern. They're written for our sake of discernment. And giving us, eyes to see, per se. So when we think in terms of why, well, there's the number one reason. The Spirit of God has laid it out, put it out. It is now Scripture, grapha, living words of God. This is the language of the Holy Spirit of God telling us what it is. Now, if you're a New Ager, a psychic, a remote viewer, someone else, maybe even a real Luciferian or a chosen one, the powers, you understand. I tell you what, people who are really deeply into the dark powers, they understand the differences. They might not even call them the same names. Because even in that realm, I think Luciferians, Satanists, others, you need to understand something. Don't think the demonic realm, because you think you're on their side, they're going to tell you all the truth. Jesus says concerning, I believe, the not just Satan, but the whole collective, truth does not dwell in them. Their nature is now to lie, and their will is bent on the same. So don't think, well, Crowley, Aleister Crowley, wow, he probably really knew the demons. He was really friends with them. He was just hanging out with them, and they showed him everything, and he knew everything. You think for a moment the demonic realm didn't play with him? You think Ed Dames, the remote viewer, saying that he's out there in the ether remote viewing Satan, that he's actually doing it and not the other way around? You're talking about powerful entities massively beyond humanity. Archai are massively beyond humanity. Exousia, authority, demonic authorities, massively beyond humanity. But nowhere, not even a scratch on the infinite nature and being of God. So there's where the difference is. So the issue is where you stand. Where is the source of your spiritual enablement? What are the non-human intelligences you are engaging? You know, if you're claiming you're an abductee, you're claiming you're into the aliens, you're claiming like Dr. Stephen Greer, you know, I'm fascinated that he's got hundreds of individuals from the CIA, DIA, NSA, government officials, scientists, so many people backing this concept of disclosure, because it's all about the actual entities that are out there. What are these aliens? I mean, what category would you put them in? And let me tell you, I'm going to put them in the category primarily. Well, all of them would be involved, I think. But I think primarily Cosmocrator, as we see this tomorrow. What are those beings and the things that are occurring in the air? And why are there, as some now, the ancient aliens? You know, the History Channel, I'll say it again, don't get your theology from that. But they're proclaiming that that half the planet, over 3 billion people, believe there's entities in their minds, maybe aliens, but there's entities out there. I'm going to tell you right now, there are entities out there. They are alien to the human race, but not to God. They are described probably, as we see tomorrow night, as Cosmocrators. Operative. Moving forward with an agenda. That's tomorrow night, Wednesday night. We hope you'll join us. Hey, by the way, don't forget on Wednesday night now, at 6 p.m., this live radio Shatter live broadcast will go on. We'll be here. But now on Wednesday nights, we have a late night live show called The Ragged Edge, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 2 hours. There's live chat room to get into. There's also call-ins like last week, and we enjoyed that, and there are those looking forward to call-in this week. We've been working with John, a professional paid former remote viewer trained by one of the primary Stargate first-generation remote viewers. Now, he'll be on for the third time tomorrow night, and we'll engage some more aspects, and so we want to invite you there. Again, vital here, and the reason why, well, we want to give a heads up concerning the entities that are out there engaging lives and people in, well, again, by the billions worldwide, because there's a collective agenda. It's unveiled concerning the future in Revelation 12 that as God describes that entity as the huge dragon who leads the whole world astray. And in that context, he's using his messengers also. So the whole collective in operative synchronicity with the satanic plan, it's the goal, global leading astray. And the regime, I believe, is in place. And I believe that authorities are all over that political, military, economic regime that is waiting for the restrainer to be removed. The Antichrist himself, the false prophet, all of that waiting. You feel it in the air. You know it's bursting at the seams. And it's not their call. Ultimately, God, in infinite authority, set a restrainer in place. But when God removes the restrainer, you can be sure it will not be a process any longer. You can be sure that the dam will break and a flood, the event that will collapse nations and the system of the world we see as we live today. And with massive speed, massive thunder, and very threatening loud leper. You ever read this, Revelation 13? The way this new regime, it's called a beast, inseparable from the Antichrist, and eventually that same chapter deals with the false prophet. But it all comes up. Pounces. Wow. Well, that's a couple of weeks ago. We did that last week. We're going to take a look at this week, but I wanted you to know about Wednesday night. We got some calls. Looks like we're going to have to go into another state again this weekend. And by the way, we've been given invitations, and if you're interested in having us come to speak at a church, to do a training in your area, well, just get a hold of us, and we'll let you know how it works. We'd love to be there. I know we're going to be, very clearly, we're going to be probably in June. I got to get back to the pastor now. Right about an hour's drive up north of St. Louis, Missouri. There's a group of 60 pastors, one fellow wrote me, Northern California, that want to bring us in. So we're looking forward to that. And a pastor I've got to contact tonight that has invited me to come to the Dayton area shortly also. We've got a great big conference that my wife and I will do in the third weekend of September. So there will be, in this area, but we're going to do so, and we're going to lay out all the teaching. We're going to have hours of teaching, hours of materials. We will have MP3s in advance for you to look at. We'll have specific CDs when you're all done to take with you. It'll involve receiving the new book that we got coming out. One of the new books, anyway. You'll either get Seeing Into the Future or R1919 up here in September. So we should be putting that website up pretty soon. But it is all about equipping you, not just the information, the blood and guts of the information, but equipping you and bringing you into some experiential, practical, you know, matters. So that's going to be in September. So take a look for that, too. But let's get to tonight as we are engaged. By the way, if you want to email us during the live program here, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. So you can email us here. Remember how we work also, please. And let me give the 30-second commercial here. This is maximum. Usually it's 2 seconds. But without products to sell, without business, you know, things and so forth, we don't do it that way. How do we do all that we do? Not only this program, but the full work that we do. And if you want to invest, and if you want to help, and if you want to support, well, I can tell you to go to shatterthedarkness.net and just look at the support tab, click on it, and it tells you how we do things. And yeah, we need your investment. We need your support. We need that. But we only want to, like this, give about 20 seconds or so. And normally, 2 or 3 seconds in a show, that's the length of our commercial on how we do it. So if you feel that this is beneficial and you feel that it's beneficial to the, you know, many countries of the world and the downloads all over. And last year, I think it was around 2 million, or close to 2 million downloads. I don't even know how many as far as live. So we know that folks have gotten saved. People have gotten delivered. People have come to conferences and gotten prayed for and delivered. A lot of baptisms have occurred last year and some this year already, and we hope to see more. But that's what we're about, a great mission, salvation in Christ, and clear discipleship, but also sounding the alarm to be really, really build up in Christ in these days and the urgency of it. So that's how you can invest if you want to. Take a look at that. If you and I want to say thank you to those who have sent letters to the P.O. Box. Many folks, especially satellite-wise, do not have a computer to look at the address and things like that. So here is the local address, P.O. Box, Shatter the Darkness, P.O. Box 755, Uniontown, Ohio, 44685. Shadow of the Darkness, P.O. Box 755, Uniontown, Ohio, 44685. God bless and thank you for that. Now let's go back right into tonight's program. And it's about the types of demonic entities they have effect in your city. They have effect in your neighborhood. And it could be that these particular type or species of them have effect in your family bloodline. You ever hear people talk about generational issues? In other words, if your grandfather out there became some kind of, you know, got into, you know, some kind of practice in the occult, secret society, and opened the door to direct spirits coming into the family, if he had symbols and objects and had, you know, some kind of practices, and that would involve, you know, spirits coming in, but eventually, spirits that involve, well, they've been given a right where all of a sudden, and this is like in a lot of deliverances that are done, and almost everybody we've ever dealt with, there's more than one, and sometimes when there's 40 or 50, you've got to understand, out of 40 or 50 demons inside of a person, there is almost always one that is in authority. I'll usually say, I want to talk to the head demonic entity. I don't want to deal with littler ones. You can, you know, that's what happens in early deliverance. You cast out 4 or 5 spirits and you think, oh, they're free, but there's another 40 with a head demon hiding all of it. So we go after the one that that would be like the authority, the one that has authority over all the other demonic entities, kind of like in a group, a cluster of them. So you want to deal with the one in authority, the one that is the highest on the inside. Now, this is the kind of thing that, that again, in family lines, things can happen. Be it satanic ritual abuse, no question there, bloodline stuff issue, that's the heavier side. There's going to be demonic authority that is taking place in the family line and wanting to hold the whole family in check. And that's that kind of generational thing when all of a sudden you feel like, you know, something's bearing down on us. Something seeks to, you know, really get into our family's life. It just doesn't go away. And then you begin to pray about it. You remember that your mom was into something. Your grandmother was into something. Maybe it was witchcraft. Whatever doorway they opened, they gave a right. And usually to basic unclean spirits, things like that. But when the doorways open, demons always want to bring other demons. And eventually, you're going to have, through a family line even, exousia, where there is an exercising of authority where the claims would be your family bloodline. And if the doorway has been opened very broad and wide by grandparents somewhere, and so much so that this type of demonic presence comes now, well, then the mentality is we have authority in the bloodline. We have authority in this name. We have authority in this family. And we're going to be operative in the son and daughter and their son and daughter and on and on and on. And so this concept of generational spirits, I believe, involves where they have been given the right. And demonic presence has taken the right. This Greek word exousia can also have the definition within it as one who has the power to act. They have the power to act, the right to act. And so it can be that through a family line. Now, it doesn't mean that automatically a child is possessed and, you know, the next grandchild is possessed. But it does mean that if authority is given over and taken by the demonic, if exousia is there and demons are there in the grandmother or grandfather, the concept of their rights, that's the way they're going to take it. And then they want to bring influence. They want to lead the grandmother, grandfather to do things to initiate their own children and the next children spiritually. Demonized objects, places, initiations, things like that. Whether it's some kind of secret society, witchcraft, Satanism, whatever it may be. But it's kind of, again, when you see it in the great-grandmother and the grandmother and the mother and the daughter and the daughter's child, well, then you've got a line of this where exousia, a demonic authority over generations in one family. Now, that's one of the examples I want to give. Right away, I can feel somebody saying, how do you break that? Well, in Christ, it can be broken. Jesus Christ, of course, had all authority, and the demons on every level knew that, even Satan himself, the chief. So in Christ, there is a breaking always, but what about if I have grandparents and great-grandparents and so forth? There's nothing wrong with me stopping and saying, Lord, I don't know as a believer now what kind of effect, but I want to just now renounce any demonic presence, any demonic authorities. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke them. I command them to be cut off from my family line. I claim the blood of Christ and being born of the Spirit and God's ownership in my life and the authority of Christ. So I can ask the Lord Jesus, Lord, crush and sever and destroy the devil's work in my family line. I renounce it. I renounce all the spirits that came in. I renounce those that are exousia, the ones that are taking authority and wanting to continue. I give you no room. I command you to go away in Jesus' name, and I ask the Lord to destroy your work completely. Now, that's something you can do, and do it strong and clear. Now, there will be some that will do that and feel they'll have a little bit of a battle. Pray it through very strong, and especially as I tell you towards the end here, exactly how to use the authority Christ gives you. Let's go over some other areas, though. Now, one of the biblical pictures, you go to, and here's a good example. Here's a great example to look at is in the book of Acts, chapter 16. You've got Timothy joining Paul and Silas. They're doing ministry together. All of a sudden, they get a... because the Spirit of God stops them, and they couldn't go to Bithynia. They couldn't go to Mysa. So the Spirit of God then... Well, a vision, literally. A man from Macedonia. So they're going to go there. They go on to Philippi, and Lydia gets saved, and God just leads and guides. While they are in Thyatira, let me read it to you, verse 16, chapter 16, verse 16. Once we are going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit, and that's where we get the word python, a very powerful spirit inside of her. And again, there's the slave girl had a spirit by which she predicted, as this word in that sentence there is python. She was able to predict by python the future. So demonic entities, as revealed right here, can give some little aspect, but never 100%. All the psychics know that. All the remote viewers know that. Edgar Cayce, anybody's listened to him or Nostra, they all know that. It's never perfect, never ultimately accurate. But anyway, the girl's there. It's funny that she's drawn over there, sharing a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. So right away, as I'm looking at this, I'm saying exousia, that maybe in her is a spirit, and maybe there's definition behind that is the idea of python, a snake, by the way. There's a connection here. Look at verse 17. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." Now, the demonic presence inside, but I'm going to say most likely by my experience, was doing this in a mocking way. Now, notice verse 18. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled. That word agitated. Very agitated. Then he turned around and said to the spirit. Now, he didn't say to the girl. In deliverance, you don't need to address the person. You address the demon. He said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. Now, verse 19, this is why I'm saying we're going to deal with authority, the demonic presence in the city, in this trade, in this spiritual prostitution, where demonic entities were operative in a girl, operative collectively maybe in the city because of what else was there. They're making money. So in verse 19, when the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. That's right. Demonic authority can then bring authority into corrupted, demonized, demon-worshipping political systems, villages, areas, towns. Let me list a couple of things. What about if it's a very stronghold of drug trade, a very stronghold of gang violence and criminal activity, prostitution, child sexual predators and so forth, where there's an area where there's a real stronghold and where there might even be corrupt officials and so they're protected and they're guarded, and it's not just one individual, but it's a system of individuals, a trade, a practice. Now, look what happens when, verse 20, the individuals that are worshiping high demonic presence, advocating a demonized girl to give demon predictions for the future for money, to make money, and they're prostituting her to do it. Verse 20 says, they brought them, that is Paul and them, they brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." Hey, the Romans had blood cults, Bacchus, others, all kinds of terrible stuff. So when we look at this whole picture here, we find that an area and a particular trade and individuals in the place of authority, where the presence of that demonic activity would have been operative in all of this, keeping it in a stronghold. And I'm going to point my finger by saying this is what exousia does. This is what, where they've been given the right, where they take the right, where they hold this practice. In your city, it could be a crime issue. I would say up there in New York and Rhode Island, the area where all the deaths of those girls, they found a baby now, skull now. Others are saying that the deaths may have occurred on a ritual date. We wonder whether or not this involves some kind of ritualistic killing and whether or not there is something demonic in a sense of authority behind the practice. Stronghold in your city, where there might even be a major temple, that can include Masonic temple. See, there's spiritual demonic authority there in the Masonic temple. Where there's a mosque, there is spiritual, you know, demonic authority connected. In a coven, no doubt there's going to be demonic authorities. Wherever they have ground-based operations, temples, areas of ritual sites, like in the Old Testament where Moloch, where they had the slab and where they had the actual symbols and practices and so forth. Well, that's where demonic authority has set up and taken its rights and built stronghold, and they keep the doorways open, per se, and the operating practice, like here in Acts 16, or maybe again, whether it's like the drug trade coming in and through Mexico. You got to understand how deep the demonic, the demon spirit of death, the Santa Muerte. You got a spiritual authority in towns where the Day of the Dead, where this is set up, where this is used, where drug trade get priests and priestesses and poleros and others to do practices to draw powers to bless their drug trade, to curse the other drug trade, and to come against law enforcement and use those powers ultimately behind that kind of violent, blood-shedding, spiritually dark drug trade are authorities, demonic authorities. So down there in Mexico, where we do have listeners, if perchance, by God's providence, there's even a drug lord, please understand, God does love you, but you must stop what you're doing, because demonic authority and presence is all over you. You die, you go to hell, period. No way out. You lose it all. You lose your soul, you lose everything. So it's about exchanging the sin and the corruption, renouncing the demonic powers. There are people that are in trades like that that feel they can't get out. I believe the sex trade, slave trade, would have demonic authority. Without question, satanic ritual abuse and the system. Secret societies, occult groups, wherever there's a group, wherever there's a functioning, an area where there's a stronghold of crime, drugs, gangs, sex trade, where there's temples, secret societies, covens, things like that, you can be pretty sure that it's clearly demonic authority. Exousia is there. Now, what do we do about all that? Well, in the case with Paul and Silas and those, they just turned around, did what they were supposed to do. They cast the demon out of the girl. She was set free. She could no longer do that and make money for anybody. But because she was connected to a stronghold of a system, a demonized practice, and that demonized practice, there's authority there. And it was obviously manifesting itself in the magistrate, in the authorities, and so forth, so much so that, a riot. I mean, they really collectively, under their spiritual, guidance and engagement, I mean, they went after the believers because of what occurred. So it is vital to understand that they entrench themselves in this way. Now, what do we do, again, if you're a believer in Christ? Now, let me say this, if you don't know Christ, if perhaps by God's providence you are a drug lord, you do operate a secret coven or society or hidden group, or you run some kind of spiritual group, or you have an area, or maybe you're in authority somewhere where you are allowing the dark side's presence to build a system, entrench itself. You're in danger. You're in danger of hellfire itself because of what you've opened up to. And by opening up to authority, spiritual demonic authority, then it takes an area. It takes a family line. If you're the one that opened the door in the family line, you need to repent. You need to renounce. You need to turn to the living Christ. You need to say, Lord Jesus, destroy what I've opened the door to that is now going to the rest of my family. If you're a child that has gotten into demonic stuff and practices and brought it into your home, and now all of a sudden there's violence in your home and they're fighting in your home and everything's breaking down, you've allowed demonic authority to come in through your life and affect everyone else around you. You got to renounce it. Turn to the living Christ. Come to the living Christ if you're not saved. This Savior that died on the cross, all the demons, whether it's Archai or Exousia, all the demonic realm, including Satan, well, they know that he holds infinite, massive, ultimate, indestructible authority. The cross will set you free from sin and hell and Satan's work. Come to Christ. Receive him right now. Pray to receive him. Wherever you're listening by archives in Russia or in Romania or in Oslo or in Pretoria or wherever it may be, even a police officer right now needing protection. You know in your city where there's strongholds and you know it's dark. That's where dark, demonic exousia has taken rule because it has a right. You need God's authority. You need Christ. You need prayer warriors praying. Let's go back real quick here at the end now to tell you this. Matthew, the last chapter where Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. He commissions us to go out into all the world to make disciples, to lead people to Christ. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, this is vital for every believer in Christ, Jesus says, in the perfect tense of the original, I have given you authority. That's right. I have given you authority, and there's a mission with the authority. There's a mission behind it. He didn't give it to you. He didn't give you like a badge of authority to stand around to shine it. What good is unused spiritual authority where it's desperately needed? I've given you authority so you can trample on this dark side. The snakes and the scorpions, those are just figures of this collective demonic realm. To trample, to crush the demonic realm, and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Now that's the words of Jesus. We see that poured out many years later as Paul and the team are in the city, and a girl used and a demon, it doesn't say how it got in there. Doesn't say whether it was a family line or just an area or a stronghold or a coven or what. But the demon was operative, this python predicting. I mean, it was real, but it was wrong. She got set free. Use the authority of Christ in your prayers at church, in your prayers in the city. Command the demonic. Break this where you see the strongholds begin to pour out prayer against it. Pretty much you'll find the demonized individuals that need to be set free too. May God bless you as you do and use the authority Christ gave you. Russ Dizdar, ShadowTheDarkness.net. Good night.